content of this program is intended for people who are blind, have low vision, or print disabilities. Hello, I'm Doris Hyde for the North Carolina Reading Service. For the next half hour, I will be presenting the latest vision news. Today's vision news is underwritten by the Apex Lions Club, serving the community since 1937 by providing services and financial support for people who are blind, have low vision, or print disabilities. To learn more about the services provided by the Apex Lions Club, go to apexlions.org. First up from the Oswego Alumni News, page 54, Keeping Her Dreams in Sight, INSIGHT. Erin Zadek, that's CZADZECK, class of 10, master's 25, recently earned second place in the software and services category of the New York State Business Plan Competition for Insight, an app that would help fellow blind and visually impaired people pick out clothes independently and create outfits every morning. Zadek was diagnosed with retinitis pigmentosa at age 4 and continued to lose her sight on her way to adulthood. She has remained active as an employment specialist at a residential facility for youth, as well as an advocate for visually impaired individuals, and this concept came out of her drive and passion. Zadek's concept started during Professor Sarah Bonzo's Principles of Agile and Design Thinking class. As part of that class, we had to come up with something in our personal or professional life that we wanted to improve, or a problem we wanted solved, Zadek said. Before the competition even came about, the problem that I determined was that blind and visually impaired people don't have an accurate and consistent single solution to identifying clothing and having outfits put together. I have been working through that this whole semester. The course is all about putting the user first and showing empathy, and Zadek has excelled with that in this project, Bonzo noted. Erin has made significant progress with a really valid idea, Bonzo said. It's clear that she was really onto something, and she has been really into advancements in technology, ChatGPT, and image-to-data developments. Zadek thought about her own challenges and conducted interviews and research with others in the visually impaired community. There are certain things that I do to identify my clothing, said Zadek, a public justice graduate and current MBA student. But I just get frustrated every morning when I have to ask my husband, or hope my 4-year-old knows his colors, for the day. Since technologies do exist in this space, such as Braille tags and services that pair people with a stranger via video chat, but no one solution allows people to take a picture and immediately have a description of that clothing or an outfit created for the user. There are also wardrobe apps for the sighted community, but they are super complicated as they put outfits together for people who can see, Zadek explained. I wanted to take all of those things. I wanted to take the advancements in image-to-text recognition and AI and ChatGPT and throw all of it into one app or one single solution. The New York State Business Plan Competition starts with around 400 competitors, and only a dozen earn awards in the statewide competition, the top two in 6 categories. The road to the finals in Albany started with the Central New York Regional Business Plan Competition, hosted by SUNY Oswego's School of Business at the university's Syracuse campus. She then made it past the preliminary state round to make it to the finals on April 25th in Albany. She crushed it, Bonzo said. She hit every single point, but also kept her voice. The body language of everybody in the room was amazing. They were all leaning forward and smiling. You could see a difference in how engaged they were with Erin's presentation. For Zadek, going back to school, and specifically for SUNY Oswego's highly rated online MBA program, was about exploring how to use her existing people skills and empathy in fulfilling ways in the business world. I never thought of myself as a business person, but I always wanted to be in some type of management someday, Zadek said. I wanted something that had room for growth. Zadek plans to continue to work on the idea in her master's capstone project this semester, using the $2,000 prize money from the state competition to help seed the product development. This isn't the end of the road for me, Zadek said. I met a ton of investors. I'm just more driven and fueled and passionate than I've ever been, and I'm 100% going to continue pursuing this and reaching out to people. From WRAL.com, Wednesday, on October 30th. Durham Teen wins Technology Award for building inexpensive Braille reader. Yash Mehta, M-E-H-T-A, a 14-year-old student at Durham Academy, won a first place technology award as part of the Thermo Fisher Scientific Junior Innovators Challenge. A Durham teen is getting praise for winning an award in a nationwide STEM competition. Yash Mehta, a 14-year-old student from Durham, won a first place technology award as part of the Thermo Fisher Scientific Junior Innovators Challenge. His goal of building an inexpensive Braille reader showed enough promise and acumen to impress judges. For his project, Mehta used tiny rotating motors to poke users' fingers in Braille letter patterns. He tested using two motor sizes, arranging six of each motor in three rows, and experimenting with the distance between the motors. Mehta connected the motors to an Arduino, A-R-D-U-I-N-O, which moved the motors based on text from a computer. His findings showed that the smaller motors could not withstand the pressure of fingers, while larger ones could. He also compared the distances between motors to see which allowed people to read Braille with accuracy. In September, Mehta was named as one of the 30 finalists for the challenge from an applicant pool of nearly 2,000 students from 48 states. I will read that article next. The competition is hosted by Society for Science, a nonprofit organization. For his work, Mehta won a $3,500 scholarship to STEM summer camp. He has filed a patent for the device, according to the Society for Science. In his spare time, Mehta enjoys playing the piano and fencing. He is a ninth grader at Durham Academy. On September 18th, WRAL wrote, Durham middle schooler among top 30 young scientists in country. According to the Society for Science, Yash Mehta of Durham Academy was named as one of 30 finalists for the Thermo Fisher Scientific Junior Innovators Challenge. The challenge is one of the nation's premier STEM competitions. According to the Society for Science, Yash Mehta of Durham Academy was named as one of 30 finalists. I already read that in the headline. The challenge is one of the nation's premier STEM competitions. The Society of Science created the program and aims to inspire young scientists, engineers, and innovators who will solve the grand challenges of the future. Mehta's project involved using motors to simulate Braille. Mehta got the idea after he visited a school for the blind in New Delhi, India, and realized none of the students were using modernized electronic Braille readers because they are too expensive. Yash wanted to build an inexpensive electronic Braille reader for less than $50, so everyone could afford it. According to the Society for Science, Mehta built one for the students, and they could read his Braille motor letters with 86% accuracy compared to printed Braille. His current model cost only $35. Mehta has already filed a patent for his invention. Congratulations to the top 30 Thermo Fisher JIC finalists, said Maya Ajmera, president and CEO of the Society for Science and executive publisher of Science News. Their innovative projects showcase the bright future of STEM. These young people remind us of the importance of nurturing scientific curiosity from an early age and investing in STEM education. While he had the usual early dreams of being a firefighter, now Mehta said he would like to be an electrical engineer. The journey from concept to creation, fueled by innovation and creativity, is what entices me the most, he said. All finalists received $500, and the winner of the competition receives a $25,000 reward. You can click more to read about the finalists competing. Those articles reminded me of a Braille printer invented by another middle schooler 10 years ago, and here is the information on that from Wikipedia.org. The Braigo, B-R-A-I-G-O. This article has multiple issues. Please help improvement. Braigo, B-R-A-I-L plus Leggo, is a Braille printer design. Braigo version 1.0 uses a Lego Mindstorms EV3 kit, which includes a microprocessor with assorted components such as electric motors, sensors, and actuators. Braigo version 1.0 was designed by 13-year-old Shubham Banerjee in January 2014 as an entry in 7th grade school science fair project. His name is spelled S-H-U-B-H-A-M-B-A-N-E-R-J-E-E. The model was based on the Plot 3R, PLOTT3R, a bonus model released with the EV3 kit and originally designed by Ralph Hempel, H-E-M-P-E-L. The cost was said to be about US$350, or 250 euros for the LEGO Mindstorms EV3 kit and some extra commonly used hardware, whereas a conventional Braille printer retails starting from about $1,900. In August 2014, a new company called Braille Labs, Inc. was formed, with an office in Palo Alto, California. Since Shubham Banerjee was a minor, his mother Malini is listed as the president of the company and the law firm Inventus Law acting as advisor. On September 9, 2014, at the Intel Developers Forum, IDF 2014, Banerjee demonstrated the Braille version 2.0. As of February 2018, the product has still not been released, and there have been no official announcements since 2018. Shubham Banerjee was born in Hasselt, Belgium. The family moved to San Jose, California when he was 4 years old. Later, he moved to Santa Clara, California, and completed his elementary schooling at Don Callejon School, C-A-L-L-E-J-O-N. He joined Magnolia Science Academy in Santa Clara in middle school for a couple of months before moving to Champion School in San Jose for middle school. He lives in Santa Clara, California with his parents and older sister. That's as of 2015. Braille 1.0. In Banerjee's own words, taken from the abstract submitted at a Synopsis Science Fair, the challenges with assistive technologies currently available are either too expensive or difficult to obtain for normal people without government or nonprofit sponsorships. According to WHO reports, there are an estimated 285 million visually impaired people worldwide, and 90% of them live in developing countries. At this moment, the cost of a Braille printer is more than $2,000 for a basic version. Thus, many millions of people across the world have limited access. If we could reduce the cost to below $500, we could already reduce the cost by 75%. To give access to easily assemble and build a Braille printer for the masses, the basic ability of do-it-yourself is key. The kit should really be readily available at stores or procured online from reputable websites to make the process easy for adoption. Most printers operate in X to move the printhead, Y to push the paper, Z to print or not print coordinates. The printer has to be compact and self-explanatory. Engineering as a discipline is the application of scientific, economic, social, and practical knowledge in order to design, build, maintain, and improve structures, machines, devices, systems, materials, and processes. In this experiment, I relied on my love of LEGO and readily available Mindstorms EV3 robotics kit to build a DIY Braille printer and program the device to print in Braille. I worked with a constraint that all parts should be from one kit and maybe some low-cost, readily available add-ons to make such a printer. After studying the Braille language, I understood that a visually impaired individual feels through his or fingers the bumps on a paper through a combination of 6 dots. If we could make a printer that prints by making holes in a paper as a mirror image of the letter, and when flipping the page, we should be able to translate letters into Braille. I used rapid prototyping concepts where I tried to build models and programming it to see if I'm able to get the desired results. I had to build and break 7 different models before settling on a final one that was able to print the 6 dots in a desired sequence according to the Braille standards, after which I programmed the letters A through Z. I used a normal calculator paper to provide the proof of concept. I validated my version 1.0 of Braille and potential small updates and software necessary to perfect for the next version 2.0 at Santa Clara Valley Blind Center, based in San Jose, and also with Hobie Wedler, H-O-B-Y-W-E-D-L-E-R, at his laboratory in UC Davis. I would say that the first prototype of the proof of concept has been successful, and me providing the building instructions and software as open source will provide a low-cost alternative solution to the visually impaired community. I achieved an 82% reduction in cost and have been overwhelmed by the encouraging feedback from both the sighted and the blind equally. Braille version 1.0 made open source. As announced in a CNN and other interviews, Banerjee has decided to give away the design and the software for free. He said on an NBC program, "I think I'm doing something that could actually help people." He has uploaded building instructions on his YouTube channel and also uploaded the software project file .ev3 on the LEGO Mindstorms EV3 community page. He said that, "I think Brego making the news will rejuvenate others, and the beneficiary will be the visually impaired individuals. All good for humankind." Detailed download and build information is available online, and detailed directions on how to build Brego were published in MakeZine. Brego is spelled B-R-A-I-G-O, and MakeZine is M-A-K-E-Z-I-N-E. Brego version 2.0. On September 9, 2014, at the Intel Developer Forum, IDF 2014 Mega Session, "The Next Revolution in Computing, Edison, Wearables, and New Devices." With Intel VP and GM Mike Bell, Banerjee demonstrated Brego 2.0. Brego 2.0 promises to be the world's first relatively inexpensive, silent, IoT-enabled, lightweight, consumer-oriented braille printer or embosser. Brego 2.0 reportedly contains new patent-pending technology in addition to Intel's Edison chip, paired with a development board. After Brego version 1.0, the natural progression for Banerjee after feedback from the visually impaired community was to make a real consumer version that could eventually be bought off the shelf. Transcoding of documents to Braille on chip. At Campus Party Keynote in Sao Paulo, Brazil, in February 2015, Shubham Banerjee gave a demonstration of a new method of transcoding documents to Braille without any software installation on the computer. The technology involves uploading any document from a computer into the memory of the Intel's Edison chip that's the brain of the Brego Braille printer. The idea behind this new method is to reduce the cost of ownership of the Brego printer without having to buy any transcribing software for Braille. There is a list of awards and recognitions for 2014. Media coverage, television. On February 21, 2014, CNN International, in their program Quest Means Business, hosted by Maggie Lake, aired an interview with Banerjee about Brego, titled "Boy Genius Makes Braille Printer from Lego." On February 28, 2014, Lake commented on Twitter, "Am I going to look back and say I interviewed the next Steve Jobs or Bill Gates?" On February 29, 2014, NBC's Bay Area Proud program, hosted by Garvin Thomas, aired a full program dedicated to Banerjee and his invention of Brego. And there's more interviews about that and information about a radio program. You can consult Wikipedia for the rest of the information. From CVIGA.org, White Cane Awareness Day 2024 highlights. Article by Jessica Poggi, P-O-G-G-I. "Deliverance came when I decided to get off the floor." CVI client and White Cane Awareness Day featured speaker Angela Smith. The 2024 White Cane Awareness Day at the Center for the Visually Impaired was a celebration of perseverance, reflection, determination, and strength. This year's welcome began with CVI President Lisa Kennedy announcing that Gia Pagnoli, two-time Paralympian gold medalist in swimming who represented the United States in Tokyo and Paris, will be the 2025 recipient of the Sarah Wolf, W-O-O-L-F, CVI Spirit Award honoree at Night Visions 2025. This award is presented to an individual who demonstrates a courageous spirit that inspires others. This set the stage for an afternoon filled with powerful testimonials from clients Rosa Allen, Angela Smith, Chetta D., James McMahon, and Holly Ahmed. James shared his plans to pursue a PhD in disability services from the University of Chicago. The themes of hope and support radiated through all the journeys shared. The event concluded with a heartfelt thank you to longtime peer support group leader and former board trustee, Mr. George Acey, A-C-E-Y. George is the first CVI recipient of a challenge coin, which is presented to someone who has led CVI with independence, dignity, and a commitment to service. The challenge coin was presented to him by board member and women's peer support group leader, Bridget Suttle, S-U-T-T-L-E. Video highlights from White Cane Day 2024 can be found on the CVI YouTube channel and will be posted on CVI social media pages throughout the month. CVI is grateful to everyone who joined us to celebrate White Cane Awareness Day and hear our clients' inspiring journeys to independence. From confectionaryproduction.com, Nestle moves to assist consumers with sight loss in forging accessible QR codes. A notable move to assist consumers with sight loss has been made by Nestle Confectionery, which is trialing accessible QR codes for its flagship Kit Kat and Quality Street, which will enable greater ease of access for customers, writes Neil Barston, N-E-I-L-L-B-A-R-S-T-O-N. The two core brands have remained firm favorites with shoppers all among all age groups, with the business recently reporting strong sales across its chocolate portfolio that has also focused increasingly on sustainable sourcing and recyclable packaging measures. As the company explained, its latest QR codes are out now on Kit Kat Two Finger Multipacks, while Quality Street will also host the accessible codes across its permanent range, and comes in response to the fact that in the UK alone, more than 2 million people are living with sight loss, and around 340,000 of these people are registered as blind or partially sighted. Its latest codes are powered by augmented and app specialists Zappar Technology, Z-A-P-P-A-R, and will allow blind and partially sighted shoppers to easily retrieve essential product information. Shoppers will be able to scan the accessible QR codes on their phones using existing apps already used by the blind and partially sighted community, meaning there is no need for additional downloads. Customers using the service can gain data on allergens, dietary requirements, and usage instructions. The information is presented via standard accessible features such as large fonts and audible screen reader technology, ensuring accessibility for all. Sarah Drakes, sustainability manager for Nestle Confectionery in UK and Ireland, commented, "By introducing accessible QR codes on Kit Kat and Quality Street packs, we hope to make a significant and positive difference to the shopping experience of our blind and partially sighted customers. We're looking forward to gathering the results of the trial and value the feedback from our loyal Kit Kat and Quality Street fans. Their input will guide us as we look at how to maximize packaging accessibility for all Nestle Confectionery fans in the future." The business has also worked with the RNIB, Royal National Institute of Blind People, to roll out the new accessible QR codes, which it believes will make a positive difference to consumers who have previously not had access to such specialized services. Max Dawes, D-A-W-E-S, COO at Zappar, said, "We are thrilled to collaborate with Nestle on this important initiative. By integrating accessible QR codes into beloved brands like Kit Kat and Quality Street, we're taking another significant step toward making access to product information a basic human right." John Worsfold, W-O-R-S-F-O-L-D, head of solutions innovation at RNIB, said, "Collaborating with brands such as Nestle is so important in our ongoing mission to highlight how the industry can raise its game and make packaging more accessible. Blind and partially sighted people should have the same freedom, independence, and choice as sighted customers. We're delighted that shoppers can now use Zappar technology through their smartphones to access important on-pack information, such as allergy information and dietary requirements on Kit Kat and Quality Street packs, including improving the tough decision-making process of which one to eat first by describing the shape and color of each sweet." From BorderBelt.org, Robeson County parents say schools are failing their children with special needs. From the Border Belt Independent, October 23rd, article by Rachel Baldauf, B-A-L-D-A-U-F. Eric Cromartie III, that's C-R-O-M-A-R-T-I-E, thrived at Lumberton High School, where he maintained a grade point average above 4.0 and received academic awards. Cromartie, who has autism, graduated in 2022, although his mother, Selena McMillan, had thought he would return to Lumberton High the next school year in accordance with his IEP. Frustrated, McMillan filed a petition with the NC Office of Administrative Hearings, and her son was re-enrolled for the 2023-24 school year. By that time, however, Cromartie had spent a year in limbo. He struggled without the regular routine of school and was diagnosed with anxiety disorder, according to McMillan. "Because of all the things that Robeson County did to my child, mentally he regressed with his learning, with the anxiety," she said. "The behavior disorder that developed was off the chart." Rural southeastern North Carolina matters. That's why we dig deep into the power and people of Bladen, Columbus, Robeson, and Scotland counties. When Cromartie returned to school in 2023, he attended classes virtually because of his anxiety. He had successfully taken virtual classes during the COVID-19 pandemic, but this time his teachers were often late logging into their computers. Sometimes they didn't show up at all. Cromartie's employment preparation teacher was later absent for 60% of his virtual classes from August to January last school year, and his English teacher was later absent for 20% of classes, according to a complaint filed with the U.S. Department of Education's Office for Civil Rights. Legal Aid of North Carolina filed the complaint in April on behalf of Cromartie's mother. When teachers did log on, they would often turn off their cameras for long stretches of time, isolating Cromartie from interacting with classmates, according to the complaint. On one occasion, a teacher turned off the camera while a visitor was speaking to the class. Another day, Cromartie was given a worksheet to complete while the rest of the class watched a movie. "I was literally watching my son being prevented from getting his education," McMillan told the Border Belt Independent. "I was watching him just drift away in front of me." The BBI spoke with McMillan and three other parents who say Robeson County Public Schools are failing to provide an adequate education for their children with special needs. They said their kids are not receiving services outlined in their individualized education programs, commonly called IEPs, and are placed in classes with unqualified instructors. When they voiced concerns, some said they faced retaliation from school officials. "We do repeatedly hear from parents that they're not getting the services that they should be getting from the district," said Hetali Lodaya, H-E-T-A-L-I-L-O-D-A-Y-A, an attorney with Legal Aid of North Carolina, a nonprofit law firm that has helped several Robeson County parents of children with special needs file discrimination claims. Public Schools of Robeson County, which enrolls more than 21,000 students in southeastern North Carolina, did not respond to multiple requests for comment for this story. McMillan said she became so frustrated that she withdrew 21-year-old Cromartie from Lumberton High School, although he could have stayed another year under state rules. He is homeschooled now. "These children have disabilities, and they have the right to go to school," she said. The complaint filed by Legal Aid of North Carolina calls for an investigation of the school district's alleged failure to provide Cromartie with appropriate instruction and inclusion opportunities. It also calls for an investigation into schools' ability to provide proper opportunities for students with disabilities that prevent them from attending in-person classes. Frustrated parents. Robeson County Public Schools serve about 3,000 students in its exceptional children's program. Like other school districts across the state and the country, it has struggled with a shortage of instructors certified to teach classes geared toward students with disabilities, such as autism and visual and hearing impairments. The district had 19 vacancies in its exceptional children's program in 2023, according to an analysis by EdNC. Jennifer Davis, who taught special education classes at Lumberton High School for 5 years until 2020, said it was common for special education classes to be taught by uncertified teachers or substitutes due to staffing shortages. Davis said it's crucial to have certified teachers. There's more, but I ran out of time for this week's Vision News. I'm Doris Hyde, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. Today's episode is underwritten by the Apex Lions Club, serving the community since 1937 by providing services and financial support for people who are blind, have low vision, or print disabilities. To learn more about the services provided by the Apex Lions Club, go to apexlions.org. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind, have low vision, or print disabilities. This broadcast is readily available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. Call 911.